today on The King is Coming.
Just like these tribulation believers, you have Jesus Christ. You have the power of the Holy Spirit living in you. And the Bible says in 1 John 4 that he that is born of God overcomes the world. Jesus says in the last days, there's going to be great persecution. What's that going to look like? We're going to talk about that today on The King is Coming. My latest book, The End of the World According to Jesus of Nazareth, is a book that takes you to the end times through the eyes of Jesus himself. If you'd like a copy of this book, make a donation to The King is Coming. God bless.
You don't want to miss this opportunity to get Jeff Kinley's newest book. For any gift of $20 or more to The King is Coming, get your copy of The End of the World According to Jesus of Nazareth. Call now or go to thekingiscoming.com today. Thank you.
Well, welcome to The King is Coming. We're in a series called Jesus and the End of the World. And we're looking at the last days through the Jewish eyes of Jesus Christ. If you'll recall, this story takes place in Matthew 24 and 25 when Jesus Christ is sitting on the Mount of Olives, the same mount that he will later ascend from after his resurrection and spending some time on the earth teaching his disciples. And he's sitting there with Peter, James, John, and Andrew. And they've asked him a question. Lord, when's going to be the end of the world, essentially, the end of the age? And so Jesus is walking through these specific things that are going to take place during the end of time. And we've talked about the great deception that Christ prophesies for the last days. And we talked about Antichrist and how Antichrist is going to come on the scene. And he's not only just going to bring peace, but he's going to really blanket the earth with incredible deception. Also, he says there's going to be wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and famines in many places throughout the earth. You say, well, Jeff, have those prophecies been fulfilled? Well, there are some Bible teachers that believe that the 20th century is the fulfillment of some of these prophecies. We see World War I, World War II. We see famines across the world. We see the rise and the frequency and the intensity of earthquakes throughout the world. I think that's true as well. But at the same time, I think the specific fulfillment of these words of Jesus take place during the tribulation period, because I believe they come after Antichrist is revealed to the world. So we're in this parenthesis, we're in the tribulation time here, the end of the world that Jesus speaks of. And we begin now in verse 9. Jesus then says, at that time, then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations on account of my name. Well, let's just stop right there for a moment. So the first thing that Jesus prophesies specifically for the Jews living in that era, and specifically Jews who are believing upon Jesus Christ, is the fact that they're going to suffer a great persecution. You know, the Jewish people have suffered persecution throughout their entire history. They've been conquered. They've been scattered. They've been deported. They've been kicked out of their land. They've been all over the world, and then now the Jews have come back to the land. Up to half of the Jews in the whole earth have come back to Israel, and that began in the 1800s, but more specifically in 1948 on May 14th when Israel was declared a nation again. So every day, Jews keep coming back into the land of Israel as a fulfillment of the prophecies of Ezekiel and Jeremiah. But what he's saying here is this, is that in the last days, you're going to suffer a persecution that I believe is going to be on the scale of the Holocaust during World War II. In fact, it could be much, much worse. So what's he talking about here? Well, let's see what he says. Number one, he says they're going to deliver you to tribulation. This essentially means that Jews in that day are going to be put on a list. And if you're a Jew, perhaps they're going to start marking Jews again. Maybe some sort of identification, maybe with the digital IDs that are going to be rolled out for all of humanity. Maybe your digital ID as a Jewish person is that you can't purchase anything. You can't go anywhere without people knowing that you're Jewish. Well, they're going to mark you, it says, for tribulation. And they're going to deliver you to tribulation. In fact, in a few verses later, it says that that they will deliver up one another. In other words, people are going to, as we'll see, fall away from the faith and then turn back on the Jewish people. So there are going to be people, both Gentile and Jews, that are going to turn against the Jewish people in that day. The second thing Jesus says over here in verse 9, it says they will kill you. So again, there's going to be a massive slaughter of the Jewish people during that day. And now we're going to talk about why Satan's doing this here in just a little bit. So hang on. And then thirdly, Jesus says, you'll be hated by the nations on account of my name. On account of my name. Well, what's he mean there? Well, Satan's hatred for the Jewish people goes very, very deep. In fact, we go back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, where the scripture tells us that the seed of the woman, which we know will be the Jewish Messiah, will crush the head of the serpent. So Satan knows that ultimately a Jewish Messiah will crush his head. He also knows that through the Jewish people came the scriptures. And so the Jewish people have really been a thorn in the flesh of Satan really since day one. And so Jesus is predicting here that these Jewish people are going to be hated by the nation. But notice it says, on account of my name. So that's a whole different scenario. It's not just because they're Jewish. Now, there's going to be hatred for the Jewish people on a general scale. But here Jesus details that and says specifically, it's those Jews who have trusted in Messiah. Now, do we have any hints of that earlier in Jesus' ministry? Well, in fact, we do. Over in John 15, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. And this is obviously before the tribulation, which is 7 years in the future. And in John 15, look at what Jesus says regarding disciples really for the last period of history. He says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Oh, excuse me, wrong passage here. Let me go back. 15 verse 18. Here we are. If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. So think about this. The world is not finished hating Jesus. If Jesus Christ were to supernaturally appear on the scene today, what would the world do? Would they roll out in droves and fill stadiums to come hear him speak? No, they would do exactly what they did to him the first time. They would crucify him. Why? Because Christ would come preaching righteousness, preaching repentance of sin from sin. He would come telling the world that he's the only way, the truth, and the life. Now, those are three messages, right, that you call people out about their sin, you tell them Jesus is the way, and you tell them to repent or to turn from their sins, and they're going to hate you for that. But Jesus says here that they hated him first. So if we ally ourselves and align ourselves with Jesus Christ, what's going to happen? Well, they're going to hate us too. He says, if you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. So Jesus is reminding us here, listen, you guys, you're not a part of this world. You're not a part of the system of this world. And so you need to recognize that. And if you put yourself beside me, then you know what's going to happen? The world is going to hate you. Now he tells us more about this hatred and what it's going to look like when we come back. We're living in a world filled with chaos, confusion, and quite frankly, wickedness. The world needs Jesus now, at this time, more than ever before. The King is Coming is helping to meet that need by bringing hope, help, and clarity to people who desperately need it. Please consider a donation to this ministry. Be a monthly donor, be a weekly donor, anything to help partner with us to help get the gospel out to the world. We appreciate your prayerful consideration. So Jesus is talking about future persecution, specifically, I believe, of the Jewish people during the tribulation period. But he tells them in the upper room discourse, he told them this in the Olivet discourse on Wednesday, okay? On Thursday night, he tells them this again. So this theme of you're going to be hated if you're a Christian, if you're a believer in Jesus, is a repeated thing. Why? Because Christ wants us to know it, because we're experiencing that some right now. But again, we're here in the tribulation period in this passage in Matthew 24. But back in John 15, he says, remember, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you too. So don't think you're better than me. If they hated me, they're going to hate you too. But just know this. Why do they do that? Well, he says, but all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me. Christians don't persecute Christians. Only pagans and unbelievers persecute Christians. Why? Because they don't know the Father. Jesus says, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have sin. But now they have no excuse for sin. In other words, Christ never shrunk back at declaring what sin was. You know, sometimes people will say things like, well, yeah, Jesus was a friend of sinners. Well, yeah, he was a friend of sinners in the sense he offers sinners the good news on how they can overcome their sin and their sin nature. You know, there's this this ad campaign that says Jesus gets us. Well, yeah, he does understand humanity, but that doesn't mean that Christ simply accepts our sin. No, Christ, when he came on the scene, he called people out for their sin. He called the Pharisees out for their sin. He called the woman at the well out for her sin. The woman who was caught in adultery, what did he say to her? Oh, you're fine. Go back to your adultery. No, he said, go and sin no more. So when Christ comes onto the scene, he brings a sense of righteousness. People say, well, I feel guilty around Jesus. Well, it's because he's righteous and you're not. That's because we're right. We're not righteous, but he is. And so that's one of the reasons why. So if you are acting like Jesus, there will be times when God will lead you to call out sin. God will lead you to say, this is righteousness, this is unrighteousness. God may lead you to speak out against the ills and the sins of a country or of a society, or sometimes even of a particular government leader. John the Baptist did that. Nathan the prophet did that. Elijah did that. And so we have a track record for that. So sometimes we do that. May not be the only thing we do in our lives, obviously, but sometimes we have to do that. And when you do that, just know that they're going to come after you with hatred. So he says, you'll be hated, who? By the nations. So get this picture in your mind. The whole world is going to hate the Jewish people and the Jews that become believers in Yeshua, because they hate God. That's why. And so that's the future of the Jewish people. Now keep in mind, Jeremiah chapter 30 tells us that this period of time called the tribulation is called the time of Jacob's trouble. In Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, it says it's a time that's never come before on the earth and it'll never happen again. Jesus even said those very words in Matthew 24. And so it's a time of great, great, unusual distress. And so these nations, the whole world, is going to turn against the Jewish people. This is what I call cancel culture end times edition. They're going to come after them, and they're not just content to arrest them. They will. They're not just content to persecute them. They will. But their ultimate goal is to kill them, to eradicate them. This is the whole meaning behind the saying, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. They're simply saying from the Dead Sea to the Mediterranean Sea, we're going to wipe the Jews off the planet. That's killing Jews. And so we've seen, even in recent months, a 400% increase in anti-Semitism in America. And it's spreading all over the world. So we're ramping up to these days, all that to say. Now, it says they're going to deliver you to persecution. This word deliver is the exact same word that's used in Matthew 26:15 when it says that Judas delivered Jesus up for arrest. And so they're being delivered. Now, again, where does this persecution come from? It's spiritually motivated because they hate God. We've seen that. But it's also emotionally motivated because they don't like the fact that these Jews are followers of Jesus Christ. They have actual emotional hatred for them as well, because it's on account of their name. Now, let me give you one more reason why this is happening. Over in Revelation chapter 6, this is very interesting. And by the way, this is the very reason why when we study Scripture, we study a passage and we ask ourselves this question: is there anywhere else in the Bible that talks about this? Is there anywhere else in the Bible that tells us more information. So what we do is we gather intel, we gather facts from the whole of Scripture sometimes to form a complete portrait. And so other passages of Scripture give us a puzzle piece to a narrative. And so that's what we see here in Revelation chapter 6. So in Revelation 6, it's very interesting because in verses 9 through 11, at the very beginning of the seal judgment, which is the beginning of the tribulation period, what do we see? We see believers already being killed. Now, I believe that this group of believers here are primarily Gentile believers, but they're also Jews, I believe, that are involved in this as well. And it says here that these souls who are slain because of the word of God and because of the testimony that they had maintained. That's a synonym for saying you're hated on account of my name, Matthew 24. So early on in the tribulation period, Christians are being killed. Why? Why do people all of a sudden turn on these brand new Christians that have become Christians at the beginning of the tribulation because the rest of the church, the rest of believers are already raptured? Why all of a sudden are people turning their anger on Christians immediately? Well, we find the answer, begin to find the answer in the rest of this chapter here. In chapter 6, it says this. It says that the stars of the sky fall in verse 13. The sky was split apart like a scroll. Every mountain was moved out of its place. So there's massive tectonic shifts going on in the earth. There are cataclysmic interstellar explosions that are happening in the heavenlies, and these meteors are falling to the earth and causing great havoc and panic and fear and anxiety. And it says here in verse 15, "And the kings of the earth and the great men and the commanders and the rich and the strong and every slave and free man." By the way, that's Bible talk for everybody, okay? From top to the small, from poor to rich, everybody's experiencing this. Watch what happens. It says, "They hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks and the mountains. And they said to the mountains and to the rocks, 'Fall on us and hide us from him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to stand?'" What in the world could they be referring to here? And what does this tell us about humanity? You're going to find out next on The King is Coming. We're living in a world filled with chaos, confusion, and quite frankly, wickedness. The world needs Jesus now, at this time, more than ever before. The King is Coming is helping to meet that need by bringing hope, help, and clarity to people who desperately need it. Please consider a donation to this ministry. Be a monthly donor, be a weekly donor, anything to help partner with us to help get the gospel out to the world. We appreciate your prayerful consideration. So why are these brand new baby Christians, Jews who believed in Messiah at the beginning of the tribulation, why are they all of a sudden being killed as Jesus predicted they would be in Matthew 24? Well, we saw that these judgments that God is sending on the earth is destroying humanity. We've already seen a fourth of the world's population destroyed in chapter 6, in verse 8 of Revelation. And now, population, they're running for the hills. They're hiding under rocks. And it says they recognize that all of these judgments are coming from who? From him who sits on the throne and from the Lamb. Now, what does that tell us? Well, this is a cold, hard fact, my friends, is that during the tribulation, there's not a single atheist on the planet. Atheism dies a horrific, immediate death during the tribulation period. Why? Because the whole world recognizes that the judgments are coming from God. Now, they're not surrendering their hearts to God, but they're acknowledging that He's there and that Jesus, the Lamb of God, is the one who's sending the judgments, as we saw in chapter 6, verse 1. He's the one that breaks the seals of these judgments. And so they're targeting these believers here. So they can't get to God because they're angry at God for sending the judgments. It's ruining their lives. But they can get to these brand new people who are all of a sudden claiming allegiance and faith in Jesus Christ. And so they immediately launch this intense persecution on these people. And so as you go through Scripture, and we'll look at this in more depth at another episode, but there's a downward spiral of humanity during the tribulation period. They begin by running and hiding, and then they try to rebel against God. They don't want God. They embrace their sin. We'll see that later on. They reject God by taking the mark of the beast. Then they begin blaspheming God. And then finally, they want to gather all together to try to get rid of God in the end. Again, we'll see more about that in a future episode. And so how will these believers be killed during the tribulation? What's going to be the method of destroying these believers? Well, the scripture doesn't give us all the details, and there may be many different ways that believers are persecuted and killed and martyred during the tribulation. But at least one method we know of. In Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4, it tells us that believers in Jesus during the tribulation period will be beheaded. In other words, they're going to have their head severed from their body. You say, Jeff, that sounds very, very brutal. Why don't they just give them an injection? Why don't they just, you know, put them in a gas chamber or something? I don't know. I think one reason is this, is that as we get to the end of time, with all of our technology and with all of our sophistication, you know what's going to happen? Mankind is going to revert to barbarism. So even though we hold smartphones in our hands, we're going to kill people with axes during that day. In fact, that's the exact word that John uses in Revelation 20 and verse 4. It's the Greek word pelikizo, which literally means a battle axe. And so they're going to be believers that are going to be beheaded during that time. Now, the second thing Jesus says, and we won't go into great depth on this, but I wanted to mention it because he does in Matthew 24. He says that there's going to be a great apostasy in the end times. It says over in chapter 24 and verse 10, and at that time, many will fall away and deliver up, and many false prophets will arise and mislead many. And because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. And so Christ is simply saying here that there's going to be a great falling away from the faith in the last day. Say, wait a minute, how does that happen? Well, all believers are taken to heaven during the rapture. The tribulation period begins. These new believers come up. And guess what? A lot of people that will supposedly come to Christ right after the rapture, oh, they'll shed tears. They'll fall to their knees. They'll go to church. Guess what? Some of those people are going to be false converts. They're going to be counterfeit Christians. Why? Because as Jesus talked about in the parable of the sower and the soils, what's going to happen is the persecution of the world is going to come on them. And the cares of this world is going to come up them. And the fear of the government is going to come up them. You know what's going to happen? They're going to say, oh, I didn't mean it. I didn't mean to believe in Jesus. And they're going to fall away. And what are they going to do to those Christians who are genuine? They're going to turn them in. They're going to turn them over. They're going to turn on them. And they're going to do that to these baby Christians and to these Jewish men and women who believed in Jesus Christ. And there's so many passages of Scripture that we could go to talk about this falling away. We could talk to at Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32. We could go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, which speaks of a last day's falling away from the faith, a departure from the faith in the last days. We could go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Where he says that the Spirit explicitly says that in the latter days, many will fall away from the faith. 2 Timothy chapter 3, in the last days, men will be lovers of self, lovers of pleasure, holding a form of godliness, but denying its power. Many, many other places we could go. 2 Timothy chapter 4 talks about in the last days, they'll gather teachers in accordance with their own desires, but it won't be the true faith. So God's provision now for these believers during this intense persecution, you say, what are they supposed to do? Well, they're going to have an inner confidence and they're going to have a spirit of overcoming, overcoming the world, overcoming their own flesh, and overcoming Satan. How do we know that? Well, Revelation chapter 12, verses 11 and 12 tell us this. It says, and they overcame him. That's Satan he's talking about. And the people there are believers in the last days. They overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even unto death. You know what that means? This word overcome is the word we get our word Nike from. The Nike was the god of victory in the Greek language, and it just means to overcome, to win. They're going to win over Satan. You know why? Because they have a true testimony in their hearts, and they don't really care if they die. Because if they die, guess what? That's just a graduation ticket to glory and to go see Jesus. So they're going to overcome the devil in the last days. You say, well, Jeff, we're not in those last days right now. And yes, persecution is rising globally and even in our own country. What are we supposed to do about it? Well, let me give you two words of encouragement. Number one, just like these tribulation believers, you have Jesus Christ. You have the power of the Holy Spirit living in you. And the Bible says in 1 John 4 that he that is born of God overcomes the world. So we have even Paul said in Romans 8, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. So you're a winner. You're a conqueror in Christ. There's nothing you cannot overcome from sin, from temptation, from the world, from the devil, whatever he throws at us. We are more powerful through the blood of Jesus Christ. And then finally, we have one another. And that's why Hebrews 10 says, don't neglect the assembling of yourselves together, as is the habit of some, but all the more encourage each other as you see the day of Christ approaching. So my friends, we have strength through the Holy Spirit who lives in us that never leaves us. And we have the encouragement and the support of fellow believers to help us go through this thing together, even now, even in our own age. We can be overcomers. God bless. I'll see you next time on The King is Coming.
As we look at the perilous times we're living in, are you prepared to be the disciple God has called you to be? With every passing day, we draw closer to the fulfillment of God's plan. The world is changing fast, but our call as followers of Christ remains the same. Be bold, stand firm, and remain unwavering in our faith. The King is Coming is privileged to offer 7 marks of a last day's disciple, a transformative 7-part series that will open your eyes to what it means to be a true disciple in these final days. In 2 Timothy 3:1-5, Paul warns there will be terrible times in these last days. People will be lovers of themselves, unholy, without love. But within these challenges lies our call to stand apart, equipped with faith and character that holds strong. Don't miss this essential resource. For any gift of $45 or more today, request your copy of 7 Marks of a Last Days Disciple. Call the number on your screen or visit thekingiscoming.com today. Strengthen your faith and prepare yourself to become a last days disciple. Based on biblical revelations about the coming man of sin, Interview with the Antichrist will cause your imagination to soar and whet your appetite for more information on end times prophecy. The speculative account from Jeff Kinley is more than just a suspenseful mystery. It will give you a window into the character of the Antichrist and how our last days could unfold according to Scripture's ultimate plot. For any gift of $20 or more to The King is Coming, get your copy of Interview with the Antichrist. Call now or go to thekingiscoming.com today. Thank you.
What if you could take your worship to the next level? Would you be interested? In our series, The Essence of Worship, we discover the key elements that help us understand how to be a worshiper of God and how to connect with more intimacy with Jesus Christ.
For any gift of $45 or more to The King is Coming, get your copy of this inspiring 7-part DVD set, The Essence of Worship. Call the number on your screen or go to thekingiscoming.com now. Thank you.